The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Glad to have you in on this Tuesday. All right, I think we've got Congressman Timmons with us now. Well, our Tuesday with Timmons. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Joey. I apologize for that. We are moving offices here in the Capitol today in D.C., and today is a little bit off to not the best start. We're going to get going.
All right, so talk with us about that. So you say you're moving. You're moving to a different office?
That's right. So every 2 years, the new members are coming in. A number of old members have left. They've either retired or lost their seats. And so there's a lottery system. It starts based on the class that you were elected in. So we did have a little bit of seniority, not a lot, but a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so we got to pick a new office. And now we're moving to it. It is, we went from 313 Cannon to 267 Cannon. Mm-hmm. And we are closer to the Capitol. It's a brand new office. They're renovating the building, so we're excited about it.
Wow! So you're in this lottery, and then you kind of get to choose. And so I'm assuming maybe a little more space and that type of thing.
That is correct. We have 10% more space, and you know what's funny? Dan Crenshaw, one of my buddies, he's giving me grief because my freshman year, out of 70-something people, I got the number 3 pick, so I did pretty well my freshman year. And then mm-hmm. this past time when we got the pick, I got the number 2 pick.
Wow.
So he's calling me Dominion. That's my nickname.
Hey, would you buy a lottery ticket for me, Congressman?
I could if you want me to.
Well, look, hey, you guys, you got a lot going on then. If you're moving, plus you guys, you got this, you got a big vote coming up in order to fund the government so it doesn't shut down in a week or so, right?
We do. It looks like the plan is going to be to do a one-week continuing resolution to not shut the government down while they try to do what's called an omnibus spending package, which I generally don't support omnibus packages because it's not the regular order. They essentially package all of our spending into one vote. Well, technically, we're supposed to vote about a dozen times in all the appropriations packages, but that has not been done in quite a while. And every time that they do, you know, all the spending packages together, they say they're never going to do it again until the next time they do it again.
Yeah.
It's just a great way to allow to force people to vote on things they don't want to vote on because, you know, it's tough to vote against defense spending, but when you put every other spending package with defense spending, it just becomes problematic.
Yeah. Your predecessor, Trey Gowdy, had some choice words for the speaker yesterday, talking about her sudden flexibility on negotiating with some of the coronavirus reliefs now that Joe Biden, it appears, may be inaugurated in January. Now, she's herself a bit there because that still could not happen with some of the legal cases going on. But, you know, it just kind of shows the hypocrisy of this woman because before, I mean, she made it clear that she wasn't even going to consider any negotiations before because it might have helped Donald Trump on November the 3rd.
Well, I think it's important to remember they started at $3.5 trillion. That was 7 months ago. And, you know, the Senate Majority Leader said, you know, $800 billion is probably more appropriate. We got to make it more tailored, more surgical, only address things that are COVID-related. And she said that she would never come off of it, and it looks like we're going to probably be doing a little bit, right around a $1 trillion package. And her justification, she was transparent, though. She said, well, things are different now because we have a different president. And how many businesses have failed in the last 6 months because of that? How many people have missed a mortgage payment and not been able to put food on the table because the speaker refused to do the right thing and to get relief to the people that have been shut down because the government shut them down. It's wrong, but
And all because,
you know, at least she's being honest.
Yep. All because of her hatred of Donald Trump. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Well, it's going to be an interesting week. So part of this bill, and if you guys do pass additional COVID relief, is that going to have some additional payroll protection in there, or what does it include?
They're still working on the final version of it, but I do believe it's going to essentially be another exact same thing. So, yep. You know, any business, and I kind of wish that there was a revenue disruption component, but when it comes down to it, that's just too complicated for Congress to do. And
yeah.
It's sad because, you know, all you have to do is say, well, if you've had your revenue disrupted by more than 40%, 30%, 60%, whatever that number is, because, you know, there's a lot of businesses that have done better. You know, if you own a grocery store, it's been a great year.
Yeah.
You know, people are not going to restaurants, so they're cooking more. And,
right.
You know, I just wish that we could make it more tailored to only affect people that have been adversely impacted by COVID, because a lot of people have not missed the paycheck. They've just spent more time at home, and we don't need to help those people. We need to help the people that are out of work because
right.
of government shutdowns. And we need to help people that have, you know, health issues to, if they have a higher risk, because of health complications or old age, then
right.
we need to help them stay home.
Yep. And help people pay their mortgage, pay their rent. I mean, you know, I continue to read and hear the stories, you know, that we've got this looming, massive, issue with people who are going to be evicted, because they can't pay their rent. And the landlords who own those properties, the investors who own those properties, you know, who haven't been getting rental income as well. I mean, there's two sides of that story. All right, quickly, sir, because I know you're going to have to head out of here in just a minute, but I want to congratulate you because since you and I have been doing our Tuesday with Timmons, you have talked about the work schedule of the U.S. Congress. And I was just a little flabbergasted when you first told me your schedule. Well, you've had a success here, because your colleagues have adopted your ideas of working actually two weeks in a row to get something done rather than doing so much traveling, right?
That's correct. In 2019, we actually were in the airport more days than we were working. We were wow. in the airport 66 days. And we were working 65 days, and that's just, I don't need to tell people how ridiculous that is. So, and you know, for me, it's not that bad because I live in Greenville, South Carolina, and I used to have direct flights to Reagan Airport right next to the Capitol. And, you know, my door to door was 2.5-3 hours. But if you live in California, which, you know, we have 100 members on the West Coast, their travel day is, you know, 8-9 hours. So it was just an awful schedule. And, you know, if you look at the schedule right now, they're still working on getting out the kinks, but they are piloting the whole 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. We would be working from Monday to the following Friday. And mm-hmm. I think that's a positive development. Give us more time to get our job done, and hopefully we can make Congress a little bit more functional.
Yeah. Well, hey, it makes sense to me. And congratulations on that. And thank you for what you're doing for not just the people in the 4th Congressional District, but people throughout our great country. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for your time today, and we'll look forward to checking in with you again next week.
I'm hoping we have good news for all the people that need relief from COVID. And, you know, let's go ahead and say it. Let's go ahead and say it, Joey. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.